Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live at Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel, where, of course, SEC tip-off is underway. By the way, we talked with Joe Rexroad earlier. We talked about Calipari.
Yeah.
And when he talked about how Calipari discussed the two and done as opposed to the one and done. And I said, Joe, that's the diversion. That's the Cal diversion from the FBI and the sneakers and all that. That's the diversion. So don't get caught in the diversions, people. But I have a blazing hot Titans take that I want to get to. But it is the truth. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Marcus Mariota looked, what, 75%? The other night against the Colts, I mean, he definitely looked, you could tell that he was hurt. I mean, he took away half his game because he could not run. He could not, but you needed him to throw, and he threw very well, and the Titans won against a bad Colts defense and a bad Colts team. This week, it gets easier against the Cleveland Browns, who are worse than the Colts. You know how I know the Browns are worse than the Colts?
That's it.
They got killed by the Colts.
Okay.
So, you play Cleveland. You have the bye week next week, and then comes a four-game stretch where you really need three. Baltimore, Cincy, at Pittsburgh, at Indy. You just need three of those four, and you're probably in first place when you take on the Texans December 3rd here at Nissan Stadium. If Marcus – now, Marcus was full practice today, and Marcus says he feels like he's getting better, but if Marcus is still hobbled on Sunday – what's wrong with playing Matt Castle and having Marcus either serve as the backup or sit this one out in order to play Matt Castle so that Marcus has this week off, next week off during the bye, and is ready to roll when you get back home for back-to-back home games against Baltimore and Cincinnati? I am suggesting the idea against crummy Cleveland to sit Marcus and play Matt Castle, because I know Matt Castle is good enough to beat the Cleveland Browns. And it would allow Marcus to heal for the stretch run. Floyd, your thoughts?
You know what my thoughts are.
I know exactly what your thoughts are. You think this is a great idea?
Oh, it's the worst idea I've ever heard.
How is it the worst idea you've ever heard?
The worst.
How is it that bad?
First of all, and I know that you don't agree with this, but anybody, do we have to go through this weekend again? Anybody, what were the chances? You know what the radio stations in Denver were saying about New York Giants?
How bad they were?
Well, what could you say? 0-5. What would you be saying? Worst team in the league. Worst we've ever seen.
They have a veteran Super Bowl.
All four receivers are out.
They have a veteran Super Bowl winning quarterback.
One player. They have no receivers. All the receivers are out. You have no tight end. You have no running game. Now, what are your chances of losing to that team? I mean, it literally don't exist. But what happened?
Again, veteran Super Bowl winning quarterback.
What happened? Now you're going against the fifth-ranked defense in the NFL, you said? Who have a
Hall of Fame corner in Jason McCourty.
Have an outstanding corner in McCourty. Have a young pass rusher that I think has three sacks in a game and a half. I mean, this team is better than you think they are. And if we go in there thinking things like we're going to let Matt Castle play, we will come back with a loss.
See, that's the key, is that the mental aspect of Castle playing, like if they were to do it the way that I'm saying, if Mike Mularkey were to say, oh yeah, Marcus suffered a setback and Marcus didn't really suffer a setback, they could go in there and win with Matt Castle. If Mike makes it known to the team that they're playing Matt Castle over Marcus because they think Cleveland stinks, then they'll probably lose, because then everybody will take the week off mentally, and it'll be a week in which, you know, they kind of go out there and they don't take Cleveland seriously. I get that. I'm just thinking about the idea of if Marcus was hurt, like if Marcus was actually hurt and the Titans needed Matt Castle to play in this game against the Cleveland Browns, I still think that they'd crush him. I still think they'd beat him. I think they'd beat him pretty well. And I have no qualms about Matty Castle playing quarterback against the crummy Cleveland Browns. Do you realize that lately the Browns have the Cleveland Browns have won one game in like their last 27. One game. They're horrible. So at least I am of the belief that Marcus, if Marcus hurts himself in this Cleveland game and it misses the Ravens and the Bengals, those are two games I think the Titans should win. Now all of a sudden those are huge question marks. I'm not saying that they will do it because I know they won't do it. I'm just saying they should at least entertain the idea of giving Marcus the week off and playing Matty Cassel because the Browns are so putrid and then letting Marcus rest the bye. If it didn't send the message to the team that they weren't taking Cleveland seriously, would you be okay with it?
And how are you going to do that, not send that message?
That's the hard part.
Yes, it is.
You would almost have to say that. You would almost have to get with Marcus and say that he had a setback and can't play against Cleveland.
Did I tell you about when Warren Moon was our quarterback in Houston and Jerry Glanville didn't like his demeanor with the team? He wanted more of a strong leader. And he convinced Warren he had an impingement in his shoulder.
Is this when he's played Cody Carlson or whatever?
And then he wasn't going to be able to play. Convinced him. Had going to the doctors. Oh, yeah, impingement? Yeah, impingement. Okay, we'll put in Oliver Luck. The Luck's dad, our present Luck's daddy. We went to San Diego, who wasn't very good. We got beat 30-0. Came back on Monday. Warren's shoulder was much, much better. He was ready to go. And that's what you worry about. I mean, it's not, it doesn't matter what the records are. It doesn't matter what the stats show. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. McCourty intercept two passes like we saw him intercept this weekend. You lose.
So did you think that the idea Jerry had was as bad as the idea that I just had when Jerry had it?
Both awful ideas.
Did you think that? Did you tell Jerry it was a bad idea?
No. He'd convinced us it was the thing to do. And we all loved Ollie.
So you thought it was a good idea?
I'm not going to say it was a good idea.
Did you think at the time it was a good idea?
No. I mean, I didn't think. You don't ever take a starting quarterback out.
Phones.
Especially a Hall of Famer.
Phones. Scott is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Scott? By the way, I haven't even given out the phone number, and they're all loaded. What's up, Scott?
Well, they're all loaded because 3 weeks ago you were saying that the Miami Dolphins were the worst team in the league, and we were going to be 5-2 going into the bye. We rolled Castle out there, and guess what happened? They beat us.
Boys, first of all, right? I never said Miami was worse than Cleveland, and I never, never put the blame for the Miami game on Castle.
But you said that it was a win. You were not concerned at all. Oh, they're awful. They stink. Floyd, what do you think? And he laughed just like he did a few minutes ago.
That's not what I said. At the time, I definitely gave the Miami Dolphins a chance. I appreciate your call, Scott. I just said on the Friday before the game, I said that I had no respect for them. And then after the game, I had less respect than I had when I said I had no respect for them. And once again, I don't blame Matt Castle for why they lost that game. Because we barely even talked about that game that week because you were too busy getting the show put into Rolling Stone magazine talking about Kaepernick.
I don't remember you liking any of these teams except maybe Seattle.
Oakland.
And maybe Oakland.
Remember the first week I was like, how the heck is and this? Now, how the heck are the Titans?
Yeah, and now you look at those and that Oakland may not be a good like.
Ronnie is up next. What's up, Ron?
Jared being Jared, I apologize, Floyd, for you have to listen to this garbage. A couple of points. During Mularkey's tenure, the Titans seem to play down to the teams that they should be superior against and struggle historically. Number two is the Browns are going to win at least one game this year. Don't let it be this game. You got to go full bullets, play your best, and win the game. That's all I got. Sorry, Floyd.
Amen.
Appreciate the call, Ron. Okay, now what if Myles Garrett, who's very good, Myles Garrett gets, you know, breaks contain, or that's actually the offensive thing, but Myles Garrett, you know, beats the blocker and all of a sudden gets to Marcus, and Marcus has to run away from Myles Garrett, pulls his hamstring, and now he's out for 3 weeks, and now you go to Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football with Matt Castle as your starting quarterback after you've already taken at least one loss between Baltimore and Cincinnati when you get to Pittsburgh. Now, how do you feel? This is the whole reason why they won't let Corey Davis play, because, we're so afraid if we play.
You're not happy, but, I mean, you can't play scared. You're not going to say, hey, you sit down, rest of the team, you got to somehow figure out a way to win so we can protect Marcus. I mean,
if this were a hockey and this were a regular season game, Marcus Mariota would definitely not play against
Cleveland.
Absolutely.
And if we played 84 games, he wouldn't play this week either.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I do understand how far-fetched it is, the idea of Marcus not playing this week. I'm just saying that in my perfect world, I would like to run Matt Cassel out there and still win the game. But coming up next, I am not worried whatsoever about the Cleveland Browns. Is the GM, will he finally admit that he's not worried about Cleveland? We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live from Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. The Predators take on the Flyers in Philadelphia, and we're throwing a watch party at Frisky Frogs on Demumbrian tomorrow. Come out to Frisky Frogs Thursday for the big game. Jared and the GM will broadcast live, followed by the Preds watch party. That is tomorrow, and that is 1530 Demumbrian Street in Midtown. So come on out to Frisky Frogs for the Preds game tomorrow. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, obviously, it struggled early. I have not watched a lot of tape on him. It's been a short, very, very short week, to say the least. So I'm still kind of in the offensive side. But, you know, I think what they're trying to do is, again, like you would with any rookie quarterback, help him out with the run game. They got two good backs that are there to help him out. He's still throwing, you know, the quick games there. But... you know, he just lacks experience right now. And I think that's what they're trying to do, get him some more.
Titans coach Mike Mularkey today on DeShone Kizer, the starting quarterback, apparently, of the Cleveland Browns. Now, he wasn't the starting quarterback last week because they benched him for Kevin Hogan, who they then benched for DeShone Kizer, who is now Kevin Hogan is the third string. Cody Kessler is the backup. And DeShone Kizer is now the starter again. Let me start by saying, I actually think DeShone Kizer, if they don't screw him up, and there's no evidence to say this, I actually think DeShone Kizer long-term could be a pretty decent NFL quarterback. Or could be, you know, could be okay. Kind of like Brissett. Like, I think Brissett, if he was a starting quarterback, would be okay. But, I mean, it's still a rookie quarterback. And he's definitely taken a lot of lumps in Cleveland, as have all Cleveland quarterbacks. So, Floyd, the Browns have not won a game this year. They are 0-6.
Right.
Not only have they not won a game this year, they've lost to some terrible teams. They've lost to the Colts. They've lost to they are bad. Now they've benched their rookie quarterback, and now they're starting him again, and they got this and they got that. They won one game last year. They are like 1-26 since the start of 2015. I am going to go ahead and put this in the win column for the Titans. Are you willing to admit the same, that this game is not worrisome to you?
No, this game is worrisome to me. This game is a concern.
Why?
Well, I mean, we've already proven we've...
And it's got to be big. It's got to be bigger than every game's a concern.
Yeah, I mean, we've already proven that we go into a game unprepared or lackadaisical or not on our game, we can lose. I mean, you've got a short week. You're traveling. Cleveland is a hard place to play. Cleveland, in spite of their record, they have great fans. I mean, just great fans. And they're all going to be there, and they're all going to be barking, and it's a hard place to play. And I think you look at this team and forget the quarterback. They've got a running game. They've got some offensive linemen that are solid. Their defense, with Greg Williams coordinating it, is going to be aggressive. If they think Marcus can't run around, you will see a number of blitzes. A number of blitzes. And the question is, can their corners cover our guys? And if they can cover them.
No.
Okay. If they can cover them, then you're good. Because those eight guys in the box that are going to be there to stop the run, which they will have eight, any and all of those guys will blitz. And especially if they know Marcus can't or won't run, They will load it up now. They will be coming.
The leading rusher for the Cleveland Browns, those great running backs that you and Mike Mularkey talk about, Isaiah Crowell, averages 42 yards a game. The quarterback, DeShone Kizer, is a 50% passer. He's got 3 touchdowns to 9 interceptions.
And there is their biggest bugaboo.
The interceptions?
Turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, who's to say he's not going to throw them against the Titans? They turned the ball over 5 times against the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. This year, they've turned it over 5 times against the Ravens, 3 against the Jets, 3 against the Texans, 3 against the Colts, 1 against the Steelers, and they actually almost won that game with the Steelers, and 1 against the Bengals, and they got crushed in that game too.
Well, that's how you lose right there.
Turning the ball over?
Yeah, all those turnovers. Now, how many turnovers do we get on defense? You know, I think we're still – they're like minus 8. I think we're like minus 2 or 3.
Well, it's better than minus 8.
Yes, it is.
I mean, for example, the Titans' leading rusher in yards per game is not that much bigger. It's Derrick Henry at 53 yards a game. I'm actually shocked that Derrick is averaging more yards a game than DeMarco. 53 for Derrick, 52.2 for DeMarco. But the difference, Marcus is a 62% passer, not a 50% passer, and he's got 4 touchdowns to 4 picks, not 3 picks to 9, or not 3 touchdowns to 9 interceptions.
Let me say this for a third-year guy, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks, it's nothing to write home about now.
No, I know.
I mean, you can't get too excited about that.
I'm actually a little depressed when I read that out, to be completely frank with you. But I'll get to my big stat on the Titans here in just a second. But go ahead. Now, look, they're going to have to play hard. I'm not saying that they can just show up and beat Cleveland. I'm just saying that I think they will play hard, and I'm not worried about this game. They should win. They should win. I'm putting it in the win category right now. I am already putting it there. Okay. Go ahead and put it in the win category. So the Tennessee Titans will be 4-3 going into their bye week. And if you really want to get me started, Floyd, let me go ahead and start counting wins when they play the Ravens and the Bengals, because I'm getting pretty close to start knocking that Ravens game down as a win too, because I don't know how the Ravens score points. So in that regard, I mean, the Ravens lost last week to the Bears. The Ravens are terrible. So, but we're talking Cleveland, and this week against the Browns, I have no fear of the Titans losing to the Cleveland Browns. With that, we'll go to your phones. Even though you have this big fear that this defense that's been so great, supposedly, is going to come out and, I mean, you make it sound like the Titans are going up against the Patriots and not the Browns. And that's how you would tell the team if you were GM, that's how you'd talk about it. But we know the Browns are the Browns, and they're the Browns for a reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. Where's our defense rated? 24?
No, 17.
17? They're rated where?
8.
There you go.
Where's their offense rated?
Their offense is probably...
pretty terrible.
I'm going to guess 30.
Their offense and total offense, surprisingly, they're 25th. Now, they're 31st in points allowed.
25th.
I mean, points scored, but they're 25th in total.
And
in
where total. Are the all-out Titans?
17th. Sure win. Sure win upcoming at Cleveland.
Don't listen to them, folks. Do not listen to them.
And like I said on Monday, if they don't win this game, it's on Mike Mularkey. Let's go to Robert.
We are not going through that again.
Let's go to Robert in Nashville, who's up next here on the show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. You was talking about the quarterback situation with Matty Castle. Now, I have a problem with this thing going on now. First of all, I mean, why even have a backup quarterback if you can't play him? If you got a quarterback that's in there that's hurt, now that's like having a spare tire in your car, and then you catch a flat, and then you don't use it. That don't make no sense. Now I say Matty Castle, he doing nothing but collecting a check. See. He ain't no more different than somebody on welfare. See, that stuff just not right.
You know, Matt Castle did play 2 weeks ago, got sacked 6 times.
I'll say this to that, okay? Now, if we ain't got a good quarterback, we need to start looking. I mean, a good backup quarterback, we need to start looking for a backup quarterback, because if our guy go down, we ain't going to have nobody. And
what's wrong with
we
Matt Castle, Robert?
We're going to keep on playing Marcus till he fall out. I mean.
What's wrong with Matt Castle as a backup?
What's wrong with Matt Castle? What's right with Matt Castle? Matt Castle ain't nothing right about him. Matt Castle, I think he's Stevie Wonder every time he out there playing. He always throwing the ball to the other opposing team. It don't make no sense. Now, that just tells me one thing, though. Look at the other guy that's in charge. The other guy that's in charge, the head guy. And I didn't really want to talk about it, but I'm talking about that flag freak. That flag freak. So,
who?
That Mike Mularkin freak. He's a freak. Like I said, he's a flag freak. And until they get rid of him, like I always say, this Titans team is not going to be the team that everybody expects. He ain't no better than Butch Jones, okay? He ain't
Robert,
no better.
Thank you for your call.
And let me ask Floyd. Can I ask Floyd one question about this? Who got the most?
Why not, Robert?
He's on there this week.
What
is
you got, Robert?
Butch Jones?
I missed the question.
I want to ask you a question. Who do you think this week got more pressure on them, Butch Jones or Mike Mularkin? I'll hang up after this.
Thank you, Robert.
You know what the hard part is? Butch has a ton of pressure on him, but I'm not sure there's anything you can do about it.
Right, like he's going to lose no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to go there and you're going to get it handed to you and come on home.
I mean, let me say this, and I said this on Monday about Mike Mularkin and the pressure. Fair or not fair, you lose to the Browns, it's coming back on you. You know, like
you
you're
know
the head
what?
Coach.
You
cannot. You lose to this crummy,
I am not
this crappy Browns team. It's coming back on you.
No, I'm not listening to any of that anymore. Because when you end up winning, you get no benefits. You get no break. You get no. I mean, the truth is, you're going to blame him.
I gave Mike credit as a coach when he was the interim coach and they weren't winning.
You will blame him both ways.
I gave Mike credit.
It doesn't make any difference. You can just go ahead and blame him.
I gave Mike credit when
– You and Robert.
Well, I gave him credit when he was the interim coach and they were not winning games. And I said, hey, he seems like a good coach. I am a believer in him as a coach. And I've said that. Last year they were 9-7, lost the Jacksonville game, didn't blame him, said, great job, Mike. So now you lose to this awful, awful, awful Browns team. Don't come looking to me to not hear the criticism, because you will hear the criticism if you lose to the Browns, because the Browns stink. Fair point? And you know who else will call? I guarantee you who will call if they lose on Sunday to the Browns.
Robert.
We'll call. And if we just let him go this time, we just let it go. And he found his way back to Mularkin. He always gets back. He always gets back to that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. It's Jaron the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Players are men of great character. They have a very deep understanding and tremendous knowledge of the issues that are going on in all of our communities. And their commitment to addressing these issues is really admirable, and something that I think our owners looked at is saying, we want to help support you.
That was Roger Goodell yesterday after the players, I guess, went up to New York to meet with the commissioner and owners, and they had a meeting where they talked about issues and anthems and flags and all kinds of stuff. Right, Floyd?
I think, yeah.
Can I give you my big takeaway from that right before we go back to the phones?
Okay.
I think it's all window dressing. I mean, I don't think that they really care what the players say or think. The issues, I don't think they care. But I think that if they bring in the players and they bring the players together and they say, hey, we're in this together and we want to talk about the issues and we want to learn and we want to do this, that the optics of it will make people think, hey, the NFL is committed to showing how much they care and showing that it's multiple yada yada or whatever. And so that's the way they did it, was they brought in these owners, they brought in these players, And they said, okay, everybody, let's come together, sing Kumbaya, take some pictures, have a press conference, and then let's get back to getting these TV ratings up and not being a big, you know, discussion point where we're alienating fans. That's what I really believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – to me, this is – I mean, I guess window dressing. I mean, the truth is, I don't think Goodell handles these things well.
And well, that's an understatement.
I don't think he's handling this well. I think he – you know, he thinks he's going to do just what you said. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen is there will be more players kneeling and there'll be more players standing and more players in the locker room and more player. And you will leave this meeting without solving a single item except for the fact that you're going to tick off more and more fans. I mean, I have friends that have watched football for 50 years that have told me they're done watching pro football. Done.
I think the discovery that I've had with this is it's kind of like, remember when we went over that day where we talked about having cable? Because we both have cable. Like, we have cable and we watch, we get home and turn on the TV and the cable's there and we, but then like we talked to all these callers that called in to say that they didn't have cable and that they stream and they use this service or they use that provider or they do all this different stuff that like, and it got to the point to where you and I kind of felt like we were the only people that actually had cable. And I feel the same way about this. I mean, I look at it and I think it's kind of silly to give up watching football, which I love. And I think most of the people that are driving in their cars listening to this probably love football too. And to give it up because somebody, you know, wants to take a knee for what originally was a pretty misguided cause, what Colin Kaepernick was doing. Like, when you listen to the whole thought, I mean, it was pretty misguided. And so you hear that, and but to give up football for it? Like, why would I do that? And yet there are, like you said, there are all these people out there who just love the – or I shouldn't say love the idea, but are so against people taking a knee for the anthem that they are giving it up. And then there's the people on the other side of it who think that the NFL is trying to brush all this under the rug and they're blackballing Colin Kaepernick, so they're going to give up on football too. And this is the league's way of trying to get both those, trying to kind of put their arms around both these groups. And the truth is like you said, with Goodell, he probably didn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, they got nothing done because they went in there just, you know, okay, let's all sit around this table, hold hands. All right, what are you going to – everybody gets a gripe out. Gripe, gripe, gripe. Okay, we're done. Hey, very good. Good discussion. See you guys.
Go have our press conference.
You know what? He needed to go in there, in my opinion, and say, okay, guys, here's the deal. All this kneeling, all this activity is hurting us. It's hurting our business. It's hurting your business. You know, if the fans don't show, if TV, the next TV contract that comes up, this is all going to affect that. And you know what? All those owners that are behind you right now, you start taking millions and billions of dollars out of their pocket, you're done. I mean, you will be out. So this is what we need to do. This is how we're going to do the games. Okay? You got that? Now, you guys have issues. You guys, how do you want those solved? Do we need to put some kind of a commercial on everybody's stadium face with you guys on the individual teams, you know, supporting whatever it is you need? Do you need money? What if we gave everybody thing, we gave them $100,000? Would that do? Do you need commercials? Do you need, what is it you need? And whatever they need, they would get. And we'd say, okay, that problem solved. Thank you very much.
By the way, 49er safety Eric Reed, who has been kind of a he was kind of, you know, the co-conspirator with Kaepernick last year.
Right.
Eric Reed called Tuesday's meeting with the NFL owners productive, but it hasn't changed his stance on the national anthem. Quote, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, it doesn't change our plans to kneel just yet. It's a great starting point. Nothing is set in stone, so nothing is going to change on my part moving forward. Until we get a more concrete plan to where I feel I don't need to protest anymore because the NFL is providing a better platform.
There you go. Provide a better platform. I don't want you kneeling. You don't really want to kneel. You want to go out there and play ball, continue your career, support the popularity of the sport, but you've got issues. What is it? Is it race? Okay. How do you want to address that? And here are my suggestions. This is what I think we need. Fine, we'll take care of that. Now, what's next? You know, racial injustice, whatever it is, you let me know and we'll get it fixed.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. David is up next on Titans coach Mike Mularkey. What's up, David?
Hey, great to talk to you. I appreciate the show. Yep. Earlier, Floyd said Mike, you know, only gets the criticism. You hear that? Hear a lot of people say that. But I'll tell you what Mike gets when things go well. He gets a job extension. He gets millions more dollars. Mike's going to do just fine. You know, I always see the team as a sort of a three-pronged stool. You got to draft well, you got to coach your players up well, and you got to scheme well for Sunday games. You do all three of those, the GM and all the coaches get extensions, they get money, they are doing well, they live the rest of their life in luxury. So they don't only get criticism, they always get a positive as well.
Well, yeah, David, I appreciate your call. You win games, everybody loves you, and if you right. don't, you get fired. You know that. You've lived that.
I wasn't necessarily talking about the general public as much as I was talking about my comrade in arms over here.
Hold on. Time out. You cannot
who is always negative.
That's impossible. That could not be further from the truth. Ian, I want you to back me up on this. After the Titans beat the Seahawks, did we not have a segment at 4 o'clock that day that was – how much
Seahawks.
Credit does Mike Mularkey get for coaching in that win? And we gave Mike a lot of credit. Now, I don't know if any other
That's
show.
That's Seahawks. I mean, since then, we had a thing this week of what about Mularkey and what does he deserve and does he need to
I said
to
if
be
they lost, it was on him.
Well, that's this week.
Yeah, because they played the crummy Colts. But I don't know how you can get on me for not giving Mike any credit. I mean, Ian, you listen to this show every day because you have to. Would you not say that I have been at times effusive in my praise of Mike Mularkey?
Yes. I mean, you're pretty good about when they play well in a game where maybe you're not expecting it, you will give him a little bit of credit. But you will give him some criticism when they lose a game that they probably shouldn't.
See? Is that not fair? That is totally fair. That is everything that is right with the world. That is how this should be. It's like Vanderbilt fans that get all up in my, you know, Twitter mentions when Vandy football wins a game. Oh, yeah, Stillman, you hate on Derek Mason now. What are you saying? Well, guess what? Derek Mason's defense hasn't gotten a stop in a month. But guess what? I'm not complaining about it because I know that Vanderbilt fans only want to celebrate when they win and never want to be mentioned when they lose, and I'm fine with that because you're an irrelevant football program anyways. So I get it. It's okay. But don't sit here and yell at me when it's like you're never positive, GM, telling me that I'm not positive when we had a segment after their last win against the Seahawks where it was like, how good of a job has Mike done coaching this week? And we gave him a lot of credit. And when I say we, I mean me, because Robert in Nashville called in, the guy who always complains about Mike, and he got mad at me for giving Mike credit after they won the Seahawks game.
I have no idea what you just said. I don't know. I just know this. It's whichever way the wind's blowing, you're right there at the top
of
the flagpole.
It's whichever way the team is playing.
Whichever way the wind blows. If it's real positive, we're going to have a positive show. I mean, we're going to love everybody. But if it's for whatever reason goes the other way, oh, my God, we're going to eat the gun. We're done.
Floyd, let me ask you this. Who's the best coach? Who's the best coach in college football?
Nick
Saban?
Yes.
Why is he the best coach in college football?
Because he's the best coach.
Because he wins a bunch of games and wins a bunch of titles.
Oh, okay.
Who's the best coach in the NFL?
Bill.
Why is Bill Belichick the best coach in the NFL?
Same reason.
That's what we all are. We are slaves to the results. If you win, you're good. If you lose, you stink. The problem is when you get a guy like Skip Bayless who just talks about LeBron and just...
No,
LeBron
is the
can
problem.
Never do wrong.
This is the problem.
He can never do right, and he always does wrong.
The problem is anybody in the world can pick up the paper, look at a score a game, and figure out whether they're going to be happy or sad. And all they have to do is look at, oh, they lost. Oh, we're going to kill them today. Let's go out there and kill them. If you don't have that, and you owe it to your listeners to give them your opinion on something, and you don't have the score in front of you, you would like for them to listen to your opinion and say, You know what? I've listened to him talk about it. Okay, I'll listen to him. Or not. And they say, well, why aren't you going to listen to him? Because it'll just depend on which way the wind's blowing.
Well,
I mean, he's going to either like it if it works out and not like it if it doesn't work
out. So back to my point, when the Titans beat the Colts, we didn't give Mike a bunch of credit because the Colts stunk and we didn't feel the need to give Mike a bunch of credit. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jared the GM will wrap this show up next on ESPN 1025 The Game. Jared the GM live out at SEC tip-off today here at Kitchen Notes inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. A reminder, tomorrow we will be out at Frisky Frogs on Demumbrian as the Preds take on the Flyers in Philadelphia. Come on out and join us at Frisky Frogs Thursday. I have been told that the GM will take a selfie with everybody who comes out for the show tomorrow out at Frisky Frogs. So once again, Frisky Frogs on Demumbrian. Jared and the GM will be broadcasting live, followed by the Preds Watch Party. That is tomorrow, 1530 Demumbrian Street in Midtown. GM, will you take a selfie with everybody out there at Frisky Frogs tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to. They don't need to. They want to come out and see the show and be at the event, but they don't want a selfie with me.
That's not true. Every time we go somewhere, we always take pictures with people. People love taking pictures with you. They love taking pictures with you because you are so wise. Scott on Twitter. I do want to get to this because this, I think, could not be more wrong. Scott on Twitter says to me, and by the way, he tags me twice. I don't at Jared Stillman, at Jared Stillman. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter, at Jared Stillman. You are the most negative host in Nashville about all the local teams. Move back to Louisville. First of all, let's start here. I'm not the most negative host in Nashville.
Very true.
I just tell it how it is. Let's just analyze all the local teams right here, right? We've had two segments about the Preds, both of which today have been very positive, correct? The Preds played really well last night, really happy with the fact that they're getting better each game. In fact, we even played a clip from the coach, and I said, you know, I don't want to sound like Joe Homer, but I agree with the coach. So that's not negative about the Preds.
Yeah, but the only reason you're that way is because they won last night.
Oh, that's a shocker. Winning, yeah, that's, you know.
I mean, if they would have lost, you would have hated them.
Now let's talk about Vandy football right now. How are they looking, Floyd? Remember, I got on the bandwagon. They were 3-0.
See?
They've gotten beaten by a combined a million to nothing over the last four games, and you have not heard a peep out of me.
And there is a great example of just what I'm talking about. You got on the bandwagon. You jumped on. Yes, I believe in them. I'm on. I'm ready to go. They lose to a couple of good teams, and you're off the bandwagon. You're done. You're out of there.
You think Ole Miss is a good team?
I mean, they played better than they normally do. But we know Alabama's pretty good, and we know that Georgia's pretty good.
Ole Miss is a team with no hope and no coach, and they scored 57 points. I don't want to hear it from Derek Mason anymore.
See,
I like
that's
the guy
what
personally.
I'm saying. No.
I like him personally. He is a good man. He is a bad
coach. I mean, why do you even take the time to get on the wagon if you're going to jump off the wagon?
Because I didn't think they'd give up 57 to a team with no hope and no coach.
See, that's not commitment. That's not commitment.
Okay.
When you get on the wagon, you're supposed to be committed.
How about the commitment I had 3 years ago when I first got on the air here to tell people, yeah, this football coach at Tennessee, Butch Jones, is kind of a snake oil salesman.
But see, no, people can't believe that. Because they know that you've gone back and forth on every game they've won or lost.
Have I gone back and forth on Butch?
I'm sure you have.
No.
I'm sure you go back and forth on everything. What if he wins? He won 9 games. So I guarantee you, you went back and forth on him.
No,
after 9
wins. You were hosting the show with me.
No, I'm talking about 2 years ago.
I've never believed in this coach.
Okay.
I mean, hey, Ian, back me up on that again. Have I ever been in on Butch Jones?
I'm kind of with Jared on that one. He's kind of anti-Butch, and he's been trying to get Chip Kelly there for a minute.
See, and now on the other side with the Titans, I've been the one banging the drum saying they're going to win the AFC South this year, and Mike's a great coach, and John Robinson is an awesome John, and all of this, and I still get you and the guy on Twitter all mad at me saying I'm too negative about the local teams.
Well, you're only positive until a loss. I mean, as soon as he lose the first time, you're out of there.
That's not true.
Gone.
I did not lose my mind when they lost to the Dolphins, although I was not happy about it. I didn't lose my mind when they lost to the Raiders, although I understood why they lost to the Raiders. And the Texans, I was disappointed. That one was woof. Frank is up next on the NFL. What's up, Frank?
Jerry, you're on a roll. I'm listening, and then I just got back in the car, and when y'all were talking about the NFL and Goodell, and I just know that the crap that Colin Kaepernick, and I've been with the same company 27 years.
Frank, I'm gonna let you go. I hope you're not driving in the car. That guy got me worried there. He got me a little worried there about on that one, driving in the car. But we do love people that call the show. But just, Floyd.
Yes.
I want you to say it. Jared is positive.
Oh, can't. I mean, the caller pegged it.
You mean the guy on Twitter?
Yeah, or Twitter or whoever it was.
What do you mean?
I mean, he pegged it. He got it.
I'm not the most negative host in Nashville.
Who's more negative?
I don't know. I know I'm not more negative than Braden,
Fitz. Braden Fitz, no. D, no. Darren, no. Willie, no. Me, no.
I'm sure there's somebody more negative out there.
Okay. I don't know.
But I would like to think that, you know, I just call it how it is. And if you can't handle the truth, don't step into the box. That's it for us. We're out of here. We're back at it tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Hey, once again, we're at Frisky Frogs on DeMumbrian, and I have made a promise on Floyd's behalf that everyone who comes out to Frisky Frogs tomorrow will get a selfie with Floyd Reese, but you have to ask for the selfie with Floyd Reese because you can't just come out and say, I didn't get a selfie, and then us say, like, you didn't come up to us to say, hey, can I get a selfie? So anyone who comes out and tells us we'll get a selfie with Floyd Reese tomorrow will be at Frisky Frogs on DeMumbrian as the Preds take on the Flyers in Philadelphia. And once again, Jared and the GM will broadcast live. That's 1530 DeMumbrian Street in Midtown at Frisky Frogs. Floyd, see you there tomorrow at 2.
Yes, sir.
ESPN 102.5 The Game.